Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers, food lovers, and everyone in between. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 67. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher, of course, the podcaster here at Eat, Capture, Share. I'm also the author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography. And if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that I do lots of interview-based podcast, but since season four or five, I've been doing way more solo episodes, and I know for a fact that those are some of the ones you enjoy the most. And today is one of those solo episodes. Now, before I tell you a little bit more about today's episode, where we're going to be looking at the traits and habits and characteristics that distinguish really successful food photographers and food bloggers and creatives from those who struggle a little bit more on their path, I wanted to remind you that the Eat, Capture, Share Instagram Food Photography Challenge is now open for registration. And registration closes Saturday, September 11th at midnight British Summer Time. During the challenge, you get free food photography inspiration, food photography tips. You enter in a giveaway to win all my food photography presets, an incredible backdrop. Like, it's all happening. I'm really excited about the challenge this season. Some incredible challenges, some amazing judges. And once registration closes, it doesn't open until 2022. So be sure not to miss out. Every season I get emails from people saying, I didn't know the challenge was happening. You know, I'm late. Will you enter me? And I literally can't. So be sure to head to the show notes. There will be information and a link there taking you to the challenge page. And if you're listening to this in the future, well past the deadline date, still follow the link and you can register, or pre-register, I should say, for the next one. In addition, my signature online food photography and food styling e-course is currently open for registration as well. It includes lots of one-to-one feedback, an incredible study group, the opportunity to really take your food photography and styling to the next level, and I'd love for you to join. There's the opportunity to chat with me in a discovery call, just to be sure that this is right for you and this is the right time. And again, I'd love to hear from you. Links to all the course information and how to book in for a discovery call will be in the show notes as well. So be sure to head there, even if you're just a little bit curious to see what's on offer. It's a course like no other out there. And if you love small intimate groups, if that's your way of studying best with lots of support and input, then be sure to check it out. Right, let me tell you a little bit more about today's podcast episode. So I did a series on Instagram stories called Pathway to Success. And it's always funny with Instagram stories. Like, sometimes I get thousands of views and sometimes just a couple of hundred. And in this case, this wasn't a story that did particularly well on Instagram stories, because my audience there is mainly there for my food photography tips and that kind of thing. But the people who watched the Pathway to Success series were diehard fans. Like, they came in and week out and really engaged. And I know that content was probably some of my best content that I created. And so Instagram stories, they have such a short shelf life, as it were. You know, they just exist for 24 hours and then you can save them in highlights, but it's not quite the same. Like, it's very seldom that people will go back and look through your highlights. So it's like that information is lost. Whereas content that I share here on the podcast, it just has much more longevity. It's kind of more evergreen. And I often get DMs from people who listen to episodes I've recorded a year ago, and it still has a really strong impact. So I wanted to keep this content here on the podcast, where I know the listeners here, this is the content that you really, really enjoy and value. And I know that saving it here is just going to have a much more profound impact than having it on Instagram stories or Instagram highlights. So what I've been looking at and exploring and thinking so much about, and I've thought about this mainly in the context of me being a teacher and looking at my students and looking at what I can do and how I can support them to reach their goals. And also, you know, me in my role as a mentor, I really, really want my mentees to succeed. And so, you know, I did a lot of research, thinking back, looking back, reflecting on, you know, what distinguishes the photographers who quote unquote make it from those who don't. When I look at the students that I have, there are some who just use the course, use my mentoring sessions and just, you know, propel forwards, and others who don't. And is it something about them? Is it something about me? Like, what's going on? So, you know, that's kind of where this research came from. And I use the term research here very loosely, you know, just Googling stuff and thinking back and reflecting. And what I realize is that there are like six things that really help food photographers, food bloggers, creatives, quote unquote, make it. You know, these are the things that really help them push away from the pack, as it were, and, you know, reach their goals and fulfill their dreams. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. So the very first thing that I notice between the people who succeed and those who don't within the field of food photography is that the people who do succeed have this insatiable desire to learn, and it just never stops. Like, they'll listen to all the podcasts, they'll watch all the YouTube videos, they'll read all the books, you know, like they always feel that there's more for them to absorb, and they're just hungry for knowledge. And, you know, that knowledge, of course, once you put that into practice, it's like amazing, right? Whereas there's some people who are like, well, I already know this and I already did that, I already saw that, you know, I kind of know everything kind of approach. And what that does, it stops you from learning new content, but also it closes you off to new opportunities. So yes, of course, maybe you know manual mode, or maybe you totally can see light and you're a complete expert, but actually looking at that YouTube video or listening to that podcast or getting that other book will allow you to approach it from a different angle and maybe explore that topic in a way that you haven't before. And, you know, I'm not a brain scientist, obviously, but I think the more you learn, there's like neurons that get triggered, and there's just so much more that happens in your brain that even though perhaps you might not learn something new specifically about, I don't know, how to operate your camera or whatever the case may be, it just triggers the possibility of something new. And that can then open up pathways in your brain for you to see other things that perhaps weren't even related to that one topic you explored. I'm not sure that makes sense, but I notice that the students who do well are oftentimes they do like my course and then they go on to do another course, or they get my book and then they get another book as well. Like, they're just never, their learning process never stops. And I notice that's a real distinguishing factor between those who succeed and those who don't. The second trait or characteristic that I'd love to talk to you about is one that, you know, when I was doing the Instagram stories, I said they're kind of interconnected, although they're two different things. And one is patience and the other one is pivot. The students who do really well, and this is also a reflection on my path, are the ones that are patient with themselves. So they don't expect success yesterday, and they don't expect success after posting 50 photos on Instagram. Like, they understand that it's a marathon and not a sprint. And I just remember there are always these success stories, right, that you see on Instagram. Like, I posted for a month and I got 9,000 new followers or something like that. And, you know, those things do happen. And, you know, I remember when I started out on Instagram, I was just like, oh my God, so-and-so already has 100,000 followers and I just about have 100, and we started at the same time and it's not fair. And, you know, and getting into that frustration actually stopped me appreciating the fact that I did have 100 followers, but also stopped me from recognizing that the people who find success really, really quickly generally are the exception to the rule. And for most of us, it's a long and winding road. And it's the ability to stay consistent, to stay present, to hone your craft, to work, to move forward one step at a time. Actually, as you work through that process, you build like a kind of resilience that will allow you to continue at that pace, that kind of regular, consistent pace for however long you want this to be your career, for however long you want this to be your job. Recognizing that patience is a fundamental part of that pathway to success. Once you do, kind of magic happens. Once you understand that it's you're in it for the long haul, that's when success becomes a possibility. Now, I say all this as somebody who has naturally zero patience, okay? So I get it. It's so frustrating when you have been working and on your craft and honing your craft for like 3 months and still crickets, right? Like I totally get it. But I would want to invite you to think about, you know, if you find that you're losing patience, if you find that frustration is setting in, what can you do? What practice can you do to really nurture your patience and to really have that endurance to reach your goal? Like, are there things, maybe connecting and speaking to friends in the industry or some time away from Instagram. I don't know what that might be, but I would really love to invite you to think about that and to explore for yourself what would allow you to nurture that patience, that quality, because it will help you so, so much in this long path towards success. Putting patience and pivot together as one kind of quality, as it were, may feel like a little bit of a contradiction, but I think they go together really, really well. And for me, being able to pivot is about recognizing when you've tried something and you've been patient and you've created and you've done and there's still crickets, right? And then it's the ability to recognize, do I still continue going, or is it time to try something new? And that ability to recognize that is key. And for me, on kind of my path, has been really, really important. So if you're on the mailing list, and or if you've been part of my journey from the outset, you know that I started out as a food blogger. So really what brought me onto Instagram was my desire to share plant-based recipes. So that's what I did. I shared recipes, like usually I think about 2 a week, and I shared nutrition insights and that kind of thing. And I just noticed like there were certainly a couple of recipes that got a lot of attention and some of them went viral and like there was a lot of excitement about them. It never really took off. And then when I shared content around food photography, that's when I really saw those blog hits. That's when I really got lots of emails. And that was really the content that people wanted from me specifically. And so I could have just been like, oh, you know what? I need to be patient. I've just now been doing the recipe sharing for a year, 2 years. Like I just need to keep going until I reach that moment of success. Or I needed to go, wait a minute, if my audience is asking me for something else, maybe it's a sign that I need to pursue that. And so once I pivoted more towards food photography, things started happening. And so I feel like that ability to recognize when something isn't working and then moving in the direction that people are calling you to move towards has been really, really fundamental to the fact that I'm still here and I'm doing what I love full time. And in fact, this podcast and me mentoring, all of that came out of your requests. And also connected to that, the gaps that I saw in the market, as it were. So I saw a lot of people, and I see that now actually, a lot of people teaching food photography. And though I feel that what I'm offering is different, for me now I'm at a junction where I have to think like, do I still want to do this? Or do I want to move more into mentoring? Or if I continue to teach food photography, what can I do to continue to distinguish myself? I feel I can and I do, but you know, those are really important thought processes for me. And I think being able to recognize when you need to shift and move, yeah, is fundamental to that path. pathway towards success. So thinking about where you are and where you want to get to, I'd love for you to reflect on whether there are opportunities that you've let slip or whether there are things that you've noticed that just hit the mark either on Instagram or on your website or both that you never capitalized on, that you never doubled down on. And whether it's worth looking or revisiting those and see if you can double down on them now. Also, have you tried food photography, styling, teaching, mentoring, whatever the case may be? You've run a cafe, you've done private dining, and it's not working. Like, you've tried that for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, it's not working. Is there a chance to take stock and see why it's not working and exploring if there's something you can do differently? Because continuing on a path that is not leading you to where you want to go for too long can be so disheartening, but also might mean that you're missing out on an opportunity once you do something differently. My invitation to join my e-course, for example, if you've been doing food photography for a really long time, and for me that's a year, 2 years or longer, and you still haven't got the audience that you're looking for, you're still not earning the income that you want, like, maybe it's an opportunity to join the study group. And if it's not my study group, another one to really help you elevate what you're doing and try something new. The next thing I'd love to talk about is a quality I called business smarts. And what I noticed, and I say this also coming from a very creative family. So my sister, if you've listened to episode number 1 and 2, you know that her song is actually the theme song of this podcast. So she writes music and she also runs a vegan donut cafe in Madrid. So she comes up with flavors and, you know, like, she's super creative. And my brother is a music producer, super, super creative family. And so what we talk about a lot and what I've reflected on a lot is this thing that a lot of creatives, a lot of artists, the reason we go into the profession that we do, be it as a hobby or as a profession, is because we're passionate about that creative process. We're passionate about food styling. We're passionate about food photography. We're passionate about music. We're passionate about cooking. We're not necessarily passionate about business. And on top of that, there's this whole other layer within the creative field that if you quote unquote care about money, you're selling out, or if you're marketing too hard, you're being annoying and you're not being true to the craft of food photography or food styling or whatever, right? When in actual fact, I think if we don't understand marketing, if we don't understand sales, if we don't know how to communicate effectively, either through our Instagram captions or through a podcast or through our email marketing, or simply can't respond in a helpful and productive manner to customer inquiries, then it is really, really hard to earn an income doing what we love. Stuff like SEO, all those things that seem like they're not as important as knowing our camera skills, when in fact, they're just as important as knowing our camera skills. And so again, nurturing your business smarts, understanding marketing, sales, copy, SEO, communication will really help you turn your passion into something that pays the bills. Without that piece, it just becomes so hard. And I feel, and not to say that I don't struggle with this, I do. And that's why I feel I can speak to this, because I definitely didn't get into anything I'm doing because I love business. I didn't, I should say. I do now. I do love it now because I understand the power it gives me to share what I'm so passionate about with the world and to be able to be here for my child when he comes home from school. Like, all of that's only possible because I can earn an income doing what I love, and I can only earn an income doing what I love because I understand and really, really, really worked on that business piece. So my advice to you would be, if you know that this is an area that you're weak in, get some business books. get a business mentor, listen to business podcasts. They're all going to help you so much. And use them as tools to empower yourself, because once you are empowered, once you understand that piece, your work, your beautiful work, can be much more impactful than if you let that slide, if you believe that narrative that business is for other people and not for creatives. So I'd love for you to embrace it as much as you can. And yes, it's definitely going to help you on your pathway to success. The next thing I would love to talk to you about is the idea of investing in yourself. And I want to talk about this as sensitively and as cautiously as I can, because I'm well aware that I have a product that I'm selling, and what I don't want is for you to ignore this point because you think I may be selling you something. I'm going to try not to at all, and I really want to focus on why I believe investing in yourself is a really, really fundamental part of your growth as a food photographer, food blogger, and creative, and why without that piece, it is so, so hard. For one, do I believe that you need to attend a workshop or an online course, or that you need to buy all the books on food photography to get good at what you do? No, I don't believe that. I think it is indeed possible to spend hours on Instagram, hours on YouTube, hours watching free webinars and listening to all the podcasts and all the free content out there, and just simply practicing. And through that process, will you master your camera skills as good as if you had done a course or whatever, attended a paid for masterclass? Yes, that is absolutely, completely, totally possible. And in fact, I know so many people who to all the free content, and their camera skills are amazing. Their food photography is phenomenal. Their food styling is wonderful. I think what investing in your learning and generally investing in yourself, what you will get is just this opportunity to propel your growth forward so much quicker. I think the second part is that it means that you believe that you're worth investing in, and that you believe that whatever you invest in yourself, that you will make that money back. And those two things are on a much deeper psychological level. It means that you trust yourself. You trust yourself. You feel that you're worth, and you and your business and your creativity is worth that financial investment. And that mindset, that part of the process, that is something that will help move you forward, that knowing that you are worth it, that helps you also when you price your work, that helps you when you communicate with, you know, prospective clients or customers. Like, that piece is, it's kind of like an underlying current that dictates so much of what you do. The third part is, you know, now 7 years into my journey, there hasn't been a single year on this path where I haven't had to invest in something in my creative business. So that could be, you know, as obvious as upgrading my camera or getting new lenses. That could be upgrading my editing software. That could be renovating my studio. That could be investing in staff. Like, every single junction along the way, I've had to invest in. And as my business has grown, those investments have had to become much bigger. Like, I always say, like, I wish I could tell you that once you get that camera, that's it. You don't have to invest in anything anymore. But then there's the lighting, and then there's the this. And I think being as comfortable as you can be in understanding that that is part of the process, it will just help you at every junction of your creative business. They're all necessary. The more you grow and the more you aim to reach your goals. And, you know, that investment in, I don't know, a workshop that you wanted to attend, it's almost like it allows you to gain the benefit of that investment and seeing that it was worth it. And then it just sets you up for the understanding that this is part of the process. Now, the other thing that I noticed that, you know, compared to people who do and don't invest, is that once you spend that money on that big and brand new incredible DSLR camera, you're invested in the process. You've got skin in the game. And so it is that much harder to give up. It's just like, whoa, wait a minute. I just got like 5 books on food photography. I spent £100. Now I really need to put this into practice. And then finally, for me, and I can really only speak for myself, so take this with a pinch of salt, but every time I attended a workshop, every time I got a new business mentor, any time that I worked with somebody, or, you know, like Fiona, for example, I've talked about this on when I've been a guest on numerous podcasts, Fiona, who helped me bring creative food photography to life. Actually working with people like that and being close to them, both physically and also if it's an online course, like talking to them, it's like they have like gold dust. That's like the best way I can explain it. It's like these teachers and mentors have gold dust, and being around them, it's like some of that gold dust rubbed off on me. I've listened to Fiona on podcasts and, you know, I follow her on Instagram. It's not the same as when, you know, we were looking at each other eye to eye and communicating, and like her strength and energy really pushed me to complete the book. And that was worth it for me. Like I just felt like a little bit of her gold dust rubbed off on me and made me stronger and more powerful, and you know, it made me want to excel, made me want to do my best. And I've noticed that with every time I've been around a mentor or a teacher, their strength and energy, like I've absorbed that. And that's what you get by attending that workshop or going to that e-course, or, you know, it's that transfer of energy. I hope this doesn't sound too woo-woo, but I hope you understand what I mean. Now, I recognize if gone on a little bit on this point here. So I'm going to wrap it up, but two things I wanted to just stress. One is I am not suggesting in a million years that you go into debt just to attend that incredible workshop in Japan, whatever, or, you know, like, no, I'm not talking about that. And also I know that investing and or spending money for many of us, myself included, okay, let me be really open about that, really transparent. Every time I hire somebody or every time I spend on something in my business, honestly, I have a little mini freak out and I don't sleep. So I totally get it. And so what I would suggest is taking baby steps. So if you know, like you'll feel that, yes, you've made those backdrops all yourself, but maybe you're getting to a point where the time you spend on creating that could be time you could spend on actually working with clients and earning an income, doing what you love, like understanding when your time is worth more than what you're saving on DIYing things yourself. Taking baby steps, so really only spending what you can afford, and asking yourself these questions like, this always helps me before I spend money on anything. I ask myself these questions and I find that super helpful. So number one is, will this investment make me better at my craft? Will it make me a better food photographer, a better stylist, or a better, you know, personal chef, or whatever it is that you do? Will it serve my audience or my clients? So right now I'm thinking about getting a mirrorless camera and I'm just thinking, you know, yes, it's like £5,000 or something ridiculous, but will it mean that I can offer my clients, my customers, a better service? Then will that investment open new doors for me? Will it mean that there are new opportunities to be had? So again, you know, if I think about the very first camera that I had, that camera could not have served me in creating my book, for example. Like I just would not have had enough pixels in there to really create a beautiful product. So, you know, like the opportunity of creating a book could not have happened. And so, you know, there's certain things that you need to spend money on to see if they open up new doors for you. And then for me, and for those of you who are already making food photography and food blogging, your kind of side hustle, you know, will this investment actually increase your income? Will it generate more revenue and more profit? And then also, is it necessary? Or is it just like a kind of vanity thing? So I ask myself these questions before I make any investment, no matter how big or small. And I hope these questions will help you too. Right, so habit, characteristic, trait number 5, I called action versus overthinking. And I think as creatives generally, and I'm really generalizing here grossly, so please forgive me, but I think we're generally, you know, very heart-centered and reflective and a little bit sensitive. I don't know. Maybe I'm just describing myself or the creatives I know, but you know, like, so we want things to be perfect and we want to do our best work. And if we're not 100% happy with that shot, we'd rather not share it and just make everything just phenomenally perfect. And in lots of ways, being really meticulous and careful and, you know, working hard at doing your best, you know, creating your best imagery or your most beautiful food or dish or whatever the case may be is important. Like, you need to be proud of what you've created. But sometimes that perfectionism can also get in the way of actually making something happen, of taking action. And, you know, if I look at people who move forward and those who don't move forward or don't move forward as quickly, it's really about taking action versus overthinking. So what that could look like, overthinking for me, these are the examples I gave on Instagram stories. You know, overthinking could be, you know what, like, I really want to work with brands, but I'm going to wait until I have 10,000 followers and I'm just going to make my photography that little bit better, and you know, because they might say no, and then what would I do? And you know, like going all off and creating like this whole story about what could happen versus, okay, you know what, I don't have 10,000 followers yet, my photography isn't perfect, but it's as good as it can get right now. I really, really want to work with such and such a brand. I'm just going to go and send them a DM and see what happens. And so the chances of you having some sort of results from actually taking action versus waiting for the perfect moment is pretty, pretty big. You know, another example that I think just feels really timely right now is, you know, taking action means creating a reel. And I've been doing loads of those and just having a play. And, you know, I'm not a videographer. I don't think I'll ever be, but I'm just going to go and make it happen. Versus what I've noticed, so many of you DMing me is like, oh, I want it to be perfect. And I feel like I need to do an advanced video editing. And I need to master Premiere Pro. And so I'm not going to make it real just yet because it's not going to look like amazing. And in the meantime, there's this whole new way of attracting a new audience, of expressing yourself in a new way that you're not taking action on, that you're letting this opportunity slip and pass you by because you're waiting for that perfection. Another thing I hear so often is, you know, one day I will write my cookbook until, I don't know what actually, like usually it's just one day, you know, until the kids have grown up or, you know, when I have the time, versus actually just getting on with the darn thing and just getting the thing written, you know. But it's often like fear that holds us back from taking that action. The very last one that I used as an example, and I know it resonated with so many of you, is the action of exploring a new creative direction, especially if you're getting bored of what you're doing or if you're just curious, versus, you know, will my audience like this? And, you know, what if I lose followers? And like, dude, we will not know until you actually do the thing, okay? And then we can see. So really focusing on taking action versus being so much in your head. So what I'd love to invite you to do is to really reflect on whether you overthink things and are kind of stuck in the planning phase, stuck in the waiting for that perfect moment. And if that is you, if you are the overthinker, the perfectionist, what can you do to move forward? What can you do to take action and make it happen for yourself? I know that that's really helped me, that I'm an action taker. Like, I start a podcast, I create this, I create that. And sometimes like some things don't work, but I know that the only way I can know for sure is if I try. And so what are you thinking about that you haven't tried that you could? And what possibilities could open up for you if you did? Right. Moving on to point six. So one of the things that I notice that really, really helps on this tumultuous journey that is living a creative life and living life as a food photographer and earning an income as a food blogger is resilience. And resilience in part is maybe something that you are born with, and in part it's something that grows inside you through childhood and then also, of course, you know, as an adult. And it's this sense that you're able to weather storms. You're strong enough to weather them. And ironically, that strength, that resilience is cultivated and enhanced through difficult experiences. So through no's and rejections and tumbles and falls, when you experience that and then you stand up and you dust yourself off and you continue, you're really showing yourself that you're capable of managing adversity and managing difficulties. And, you know, I said this again in the IG stories, that I know for a fact that all the photographers you admire, all the creatives you admire, all the chefs you think are like the bomb and, you know, phenomenal, I can assure you they have gone through struggles and hardship and difficulties. And the reason that they are where they are is because they didn't let those things stop them. And that happens through resilience. And in part, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but in part that resilience is about how you look at things and how you frame things, because we all experience difficulties and rejection and heartache. So, you know, the examples I gave was resilience looks like this. You post a picture on Instagram that tanks and you're annoyed, and potentially you have a cry. I'll put my hand up. That's happened to me. But then you move on. You try something new next time. Versus when you post something, it tanks. Then you're like, oh my God, I'm a total failure. You know, I'm so bad. Obviously, nobody likes my photos anymore. You know, and then that kind of, those negative thought processes continue for sometimes days. And it's really that ability to pull yourself out of that negative space, that resilience gives you that strength to do that. Another example is, you know, resilience, when you get rejected by a brand, again, you know, you dust yourself up and then you pitch to someone new, versus when you pitch to a brand, they say no, or worse still, they totally ghost you, don't come back to you. And then you're like, oh my God, they didn't like my work. I'm just not good enough. I should have done this. And I could have, and just this kind of feeling of not being good enough. Resilience. Lastly, another example, which I hope is helpful, is resilience looks like viewing failure and rejection as a normal part of life and a normal part of the journey of being a food photographer, creative, chef, what have you, versus seeing failure and rejection as something to avoid at all costs. I've talked about this so much on the podcast, right? That I was rejected like 30 times by publishers and agents. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't have a good cry and all the rest of it. And I think you heard that in the episodes. But I suppose the fact that I did dust myself off made me now feel much, much stronger than I ever have been. And I think, you know, it just really, really built my resilience. And I'm so grateful for that. So I'd love for you to reflect on, what are ways that you can cultivate your resilience? So what are ways that you can strengthen that resilience muscle? Can you think of situations where your resilience helped you manage a difficult situation? Maybe you have gone through hardship and come out the other end and gained so much from that experience and you just forgot about it. It's there, you know, like reconnect to that feeling. And can you think of people or things that are holding you back from developing your resilience and experiencing personal growth? Because sometimes it's little voices, either your own or from other people in your head, that kind of make you doubt yourself and make you view yourself as a failure. So yeah, I would invite you to kind of reflect on that and see if it helps. Now, that very last point I made actually leads me super nicely in habit quality to have on your pathway to success. And I called it connections. I'd like to distinguish here because I think in a lot of ways, it's super helpful to have connections with, you know, people high up who can get you through the door and what have you. If you have that, amazing, it'll definitely help. But that's not actually what I mean by connections. What I mean by connections is thinking about the people that you spend the most time with, the people that are closest to you. What we know, so there's been a lot of research around this, that the five people we spend the most amount of time with are the ones that have the strongest and biggest impact on us. So if you're around somebody who's fearful, who doubts themselves, who perhaps isn't ambitious or driven to excel in what they do, or supportive, or whatever the case may be, that's going to hold you back. That's going to plant seeds of doubt in your mind and make you wonder whether you should pursue the thing that you love, like food photography. Again, I'd love to invite you to think about, you know, who are the 3 to 5 people that you spend the most time with? Are they people who are encouraging you and bringing out the best in you? And are they really spurring you on to excel at what you do? If so, amazing. That's definitely setting you on the right path. And if not, can you think of other ways, and I'll give some suggestions too, where you can expand your network? If you have friends or family who are really, really important to you, really dear to you, but you can feel that they're holding you back, but, you know, can you think of ways to create empowering connections that will allow you to reach your creative goals, reach your food photography goals, and strengthen you? So a couple of ways you could do that, of course, is join a mastermind. Like a lot of the times, people who join that, you know, they're really, I don't know, like super ambitious and really, really committed to excelling and doing well. And it's so inspiring. I've been part of a mastermind before and I really, really, really enjoyed it. And again, you know, I mentioned this before, like attending a workshop. I'm using food photography here as an example, but there could be other things that you're interested in that you want to pursue. You know, it's that magic dust I was talking about, that when you're around these people, like they sprinkle their magic dust, their golden dust on you, and it's so invigorating. Also think about the content that you're consuming. I made a decision a little while ago not to watch the news. So that's not to say that I'm not interested in current affairs. I'm super interested. And if you've listened to the podcast, you know, like I'm super political. But I also noticed that if I watch the news too much, it pulls me down. It makes me feel powerless because, of course, in lots of ways, I am powerless. I cannot change the world, right? But if I consume that too much, it kind of sucks the energy out of me. So instead, I really tend to listen to a lot of podcasts, and I read a lot of books. I read about 2 to 4 books every single month. And usually they're books by people who just really inspire me. And every time I read a book, I just feel invigorated. I try and follow accounts on social media, you know, specifically Instagram. I'm thinking, you know, people are just bubbly and uplifting and fun. And that's not to say I don't love a good little moan, like a good moan about Instagram right now. In fact, I could cry about it if I wanted to. But I find that if I surround myself and consume that kind of content too much, it doesn't bring out the best in me. And I also try to spend less time with people who think small or who make me doubt myself. So again, I'd love to invite you to look at the people around you. And then finally, again, for me, and this is super individual as well, I've always found working with a coach and mentor super helpful. So yes, that's what I'm talking about with connection. So if you know that you want to find that success as a food photographer, food blogger, if you want to strive further, then do look at and investigate who you're spending time with. We're almost there, just two more to go. So the next one I wanted to talk about is, this is really for those of you looking to turn food photography into a serious side hustle or your full-time job. Although I guess it kind of also applies to anybody doing private chefing or, you know, running a restaurant or that kind of thing. But I think having a unique style, having an authentic visual voice is a really, really important component towards finding success. And, you know, if you tuned in last week, if not, I'll be sure to pop those details in the show notes. You know, when I was speaking to Ritu, there was method in the madness. You know, why I'm bringing that episode to you is that having that kind of authentic voice, having a visual style that's recognizable, it is so powerful. And it means that you'll get people looking for what you offer versus, you know, blending in with what everybody else is doing. There's so many creatives who are shooting the exact same way, like this kind of white marble background, you know, cookies or whatever it is, you know, brown, white, monochromatic. And I love that look. I think it's elegant. I think it's beautiful. And I do think you can have that style and make it your own. But if you follow a formula, it's really, really easy to blend in and have your images look like everyone else. And so, you know, having a unique style, like I'm thinking of, is it Steve McCurry? Like this really, really famous portrait, landscape, and travel photographer. Like I can see his images, and that's not even the genre I'm into, but I can see his images and I can recognize it from like a mile away. Ritu was on the podcast last week. I see an image pop up and I know it's her. Betty was on the podcast as well. We spoke about her last week too. Like it just pops up. You know, so many people who are really crushing it in the food photography scene, it's because they have that signature look. They cultivated that. They leaned into it. And that's really so important. So of course my book is about that and I cover that in my course. But even if you don't access those, like I would love to invite you to study your work and to reflect on who you are as a human and how you can inject that into your work. And that takes a little bit of bravery, right? To do something that is different to what everybody else is doing. The way you work with light, the way you work with color, the way you compose, like there's so many layers, the way you edit, so many layers where you can inject your personality, your unique style into it. And that's definitely an important component to finding success. Right. The very last point I would love to share with you, the very last trait, habit, quality that I see in students who propel forward, the quality I see in food photographers I admire who are crushing it on the scene, is mindset and drive. And again, I feel that they're really closely intermingled, which is why I've put them together under one. But it kind of goes with what I mentioned before, like having the correct mindset will really allow you to go through all the dark days, all the stumbles, all the failure, all the doubt, all the things that will inevitably accompany you on your path into a, you know, creative life. Like they are part and parcel. And it just gives you the strength to pull through. I think sometimes people look at creatives who are, you know, on the surface of it, have everything, and they've got their, I don't know, 500,000 followers and I don't know how many YouTube subscribers and all those things, right? And just think like, oh, if only I had that. And if only, what they don't see is all the stuff behind the scenes, the heartache, the failure, the rejection, all those things. And the reason why these people are where they are and they're still standing is because they've got the right mindset, right? Like all that stuff that pulls them through. What helps pull you through, apart from mindset, is having a really strong drive, like this hunger for success. You know, it's so strong. You almost like you breathe food photography. You dream food photography. You think about it all the time. It's like you almost become a little delirious about it, you know? And that focus really pushes you forward, especially at really hard junctions where other people give up. That's the thing. It allows you to view that you have some control over your life and your destiny, and it allows you to believe that you can obtain a level of success. And you know, it's so empowering. That belief, that drive, that mindset is so empowering. And it just helps you through those stumbling blocks. Now, the question, of course, is how can I cultivate mindset? How can I, you know, improve my drive and really let it kind of marinate and strengthen, right? So some of the things that I have found helpful in the past, which I hope you will find helpful too, is positive self-talk. You know, I never say, oh my God, Kimberly, you're so rubbish. Like I never say that to myself. Like I try to be my own best friend, if that makes sense. Like I always try to speak to myself the way that I would speak to my son or kind of vulnerable friend or something, you know. I always try to lift myself up, especially because I spend so much time on my own, and as creatives we spend so much time on our own. Like we need to be our own kind of most encouraging voice in our head. The other thing I have gotten seriously into this year, I kind of dabbled with it on and off for quite some time, but this year I really made a commitment to it, is a gratitude practice. So I have my diary, and every single day I write like three things that I'm grateful for. And it helps me recognize that there are everyday good things happen, that I shouldn't and can't dwell on what I'm lacking or what isn't working or what's going wrong. As I mentioned before, surrounding myself with empowering and people and empowering content. And then also just regularly acknowledging the achievements that I have, that I've achieved. You know what I mean? Like the milestones I've reached. And sometimes that means looking back at really old photos or anything, just recognizing those little steps that I'm taking that are allowing me to move forward. So those are things that really drive me and really help me with my mindset. Right. I hope today's episode was helpful. I just never know, right? Because I'm just here sitting in my office by myself and talking into a mic, hoping that someone's listening and finding this helpful. What's super, super wonderful for me is if you drop me a DM and let me know what you thought of this episode. Also, if you have questions, like usually episodes come about because of questions that have come through or, you know, emails that I get. So if there is something in your mind, you're like, oh my God, I wish Kimberly would speak to this, just drop me an email and I can definitely see what I can do. Right, so I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Now, just one more thing, like one huge elephant in the room that I haven't addressed is that the podcast has had a complete makeover. I hope you love the new art. The podcast cover was actually chosen by my email community. If you're not part of that, be sure to head to the show notes and sign up and join. Love to have you. Things like voting for my book cover happened through the email community. The community voted for the cover of my book, and they voted for the new podcast cover as well. This is always little bits and pieces that I share just with my newsletter subscribers. So if you're not on the mailing list, be sure to head to the show notes. Great. I think that's it. My mouth is dry, so I know I did a lot of talking. I think this is the longest solo episode I have ever done. I hope it was helpful. I hope it was empowering, and wishing you much success. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care. Bye.